1 John 5:13, the verse that we read aloud together, is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, but it is also one of the most important verses in all the Bible. If you had to ask me, if you said, Pastor, can you make me a list of the top 10 most important verses on the Bible, I don't know where 1 John would fall on that list, but I know it would be in the list, and it would be somewhere near the top. Because this verse settles forever. It helps us to put away any kind of doubt that we may have on whether or not a person can know for sure that heaven will be their home. God does not want people going through this world wondering where they're going to spend eternity. God wants you to know that heaven is going to be your home. Now, when we look at verse 13 this morning, where Paul says, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. The next phrase says, that you may know that you have eternal life. Those are not the words of a man. That is not just an apostle's opinion. That is not a philosophy that has been derived in the minds of men. That statement is the very word of God. It is God who says to you, God who says to me, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can be 100% sure that you will spend forever with God in His heaven. Now I want you to notice this morning that that statement actually gives us two different types of confidence. Okay, number one is what I will call the confidence of the saved. How many of you know that you're saved this morning? Let me see your hands. You know that you're saved. Okay, well, the reason we know that we're saved is because the Bible says we can know that we're saved. It's verses like 1 John 5:13 that let us know that when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we received eternal life. Not life till you sin again. Not life till you fall from grace. Not life till you slip from God's grasp. You receive eternal life. The very life necessary to live in heaven. That's the confidence of the saved. If you've ever been truly born again, you are saved eternally. But there is a second confidence that I want us to consider this morning. And that's what I call the confidence of the soul winner. Now, we are emphasizing soul winning this year. Our Savior came to seek and to save that which was lost. He has left us in this world to seek and to save those who are lost. When we talk about soul winning, all we're talking about is living in this world as if we were seeking and saving lost sinners, trying to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. This verse gives us a soul winner's confidence. And that confidence is this. That after I speak to someone and I open my Bible and I share with them the gospel truth, I let them know, we look through the Bible and we say, God loves us in spite of our sins. Yes, our sins separate us from God and it would condemn us to a place called hell forever. But God loved us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And the Bible says that if we would believe that Jesus did that for us, He would give us eternal life and save our souls forever. And I go through the Bible and I explain that to someone. And then I say, does that make sense to you? And they say, yes, it does. Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? No, I haven't. Would you like to do that right now? Yes, I would. And they bow their heads and the best they know how, they say something like this. God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I could never get to heaven on my own. But I believe that Jesus died for me. And right now, I trust Him to be my Savior. You know what the soul winner's confidence is? That everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior receives eternal life. Okay. We are not the blind leading the blind. We are the informed sharing truth with those who need it. So I want to speak to you this morning about a no-so salvation. About being saved for certain. You know, there's only one thing better than knowing for sure that you will go to heaven someday. You say, I can't imagine what would possibly be better than that. Knowing that others will also be in heaven because you led them to Christ. So when we talk about a no-so salvation, I do not want you, if you're saved this morning, to sit in your pew and feel snug and secure because you're going to heaven. I want you to get burdened for people around you who can have that same assurance if we can just give them the gospel and then believe in Jesus the way you believed in Jesus as Savior. There are three reasons in the text we've read this morning why you and I can be sure of the truths that are recorded here. We can be sure of a heavenly home. We can be sure that we have eternal life. Reason number one is found in verse 13. I'm actually going to work our way backwards through the text. But verse 13, number one, why we can know for sure that these things are true is because this is the Word of God. That's what verse 13 says. John writes and says, "These things have I written unto you that believe." Now, these things which he speaks of are the truths that he has recorded here. The truths that we read about how that whoever believes in Jesus overcomes the world. Verse 5. And there are three that bear witness in heaven of who Jesus was. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. There's three that bear witness in the earth. The water, the blood, and the Spirit. If we receive the witness of God, the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. This is the record that God has given to us of his Son. When John writes of these things, he's referring primarily to those things that he has written here. The statements concerning our ability to have eternal life and know it. Now I want you to see four statements in verses 11 and 12 that God has given to us here. These things that he has told us. Look at verse 11, okay? Verse 11. He says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life." Okay, the first thing that God says we can know for certain is there is such a thing as eternal life. This life is not all there is. There is life beyond the grave. Everyone you know, each person in this place this morning, each of you were created with a soul and spirit that is going to exist somewhere forever. Every person you know has a soul and spirit that was created to exist forever. There is eternal life. That's what verse 7 is saying. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. Everyone you know, everyone I know, will exist someplace forever. When we pass from this earthly life, there is an eternal existence. Some will spend their eternity in that place called hell, separated from God. Some will spend their eternity in that place called heaven with God forever. There is eternal life. Now, let me tell you, the opposite of eternal life is eternal hell. A person either has eternal life and the expectation of living in heaven with God, or they will go to that eternal hell and be separated from God forever, that thing called the second death. There is eternal life. That's the record that God has given to us. Secondly, he says in verse 11, not only is there eternal life, he says the last part of that verse, this life is in his Son. So what does that mean? It means if you want eternal life, there's only one person in all the universe you can go to get it. That's Jesus. Okay. Now I know there's many sincere people believe in Buddha. Problem is, eternal life is not in Buddha, it's in Jesus. There's many sincere people who are following the Prophet Muhammad. There's only one problem with that. The Prophet Muhammad doesn't have eternal life to give, only Jesus does. Okay, there's people who have many sincere beliefs. Sincerity is not a substitute for truth. It doesn't matter what you believe. If what you believe is not true, you can't be certain of those things. So God has given us a record. There is eternal life. And that eternal life is found only in Jesus Christ. Look at the third part of this, verse number 12. It says, "He that hath the Son hath life." So what does that mean? If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive eternal life. That's what that means. Every person who receives Christ as Savior receives eternal life when Jesus comes into their lives. There is eternal life. You must go to Jesus Christ to have it. When you receive Jesus, you receive God's eternal life. Finally, verse number 12 says this, the last statement. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Here's what that means. If you're sitting here this morning, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm not saying you're not a good person. Chances are, you are. And most people in this world are pretty good people. There's only a few who deserve to be behind bars someplace. You probably are a good person. You probably know a lot of people who are a lot worse than you are. I'm not saying that you're not a religious person. You may be very religious. You may have grown up in church. You may have been baptized as a baby. But I can tell you this. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have eternal life. That's the record of God. Okay, that's the record. God says there is eternal life. Okay, that life is found only in Jesus. When you receive Jesus, you receive eternal life. Without Jesus, you don't have it. That is what is written in God's book. The record that you and I are to believe. There is no other way to be saved. Now notice verse number 10. Remember, we're working our way backwards towards where we started. But verse number 10. Here's what God says to you and I. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a, what's the next word? A liar. Okay, so God's telling us there are only two ways that you and I can respond to what is written. There's only two ways you and I can respond to the Word of God. We can believe it. And if you believe what's written, then you ought to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you believe there's eternal life, if you believe that life is in Christ, if you believe you only get that life when you receive the Son, you ought to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But if you don't believe it, if you say, I'm not sure about the Bible, I'm not sure that I can accept these things as being true, God says, be careful of the decision that you're making, because it's as if you were calling God a liar. That's pretty serious. Now, I've called a few men a liar in my time. Now, some of them I knew right off the bat, they're lying. I've looked them right in the face and said, you're a liar. We do that when we know people are lying. God doesn't lie. The very God of heaven has spoken to us the truth we need to know to be sure of heaven. God says you can believe it or you can reject it. But understand, when you reject it, it's as if you're making God out a liar. It's as if you would turn to the person next to you and say, I think God is lying to us. I don't think there's anything like eternal life. I don't think there is a hereafter. I don't even think there is a God. It's as if you're calling God a liar. So if you believe the book, then you can believe what God says. This is the Word of God. When the Bible speaks, it's as if God Himself speaks to us. And if you believe the book, then you can believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you believe the book, you've believed in Jesus as your Savior, you can know that you have eternal life. Because God doesn't lie. We can know that we're saved for certain because of the Word of God. Secondly, John lets us know that we can, tells us that we can know that we're saved. We can be certain of our salvation because of the work of Jesus Christ. Beginning verse number 6, John here speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ and the way that he came into the world and the witness that is born of him. Now, one of the things that's made very clear in this passage is that salvation is the result of believing in Jesus Christ as Savior. Again, verse 13 says, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. In verse number 10, it says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God has given his Son. So the determining factor is our belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He was not merely a good person or a great teacher, but he was the very Son of God who came into this world to seek and to save the lost. He came into this world to save sinners. He is the Savior. John wants us to know that. Now, John tells us that there are witnesses to that truth to help you and I understand that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And he mentions three witnesses in heaven, verse number 7. He says, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Father, God the Father in heaven. You will recall that on at least two occasions in the life of Jesus, God spoke audibly so that people on earth could hear, and these were the words he said. Speaking of Jesus Christ, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. God wanted people to know from his own witness, his own word, that Jesus was his Son here on earth. Okay, you also remember at the baptism of Jesus, okay, that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit descended like a dove and came to rest upon him. In the book of Matthew chapter 3 verse 16 it says, and Jesus when he was baptized went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. In John chapter 1 verse 32, John the Baptist said, it says, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. That descending Spirit resting on Jesus was a second witness that Jesus was the Son of God here on earth. The third witness is, of course, the very Son of God himself. He's called in the text the Word. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word is Jesus Christ. And when Jesus lived on this earth, he walked through this world and he testified to people, I am the Son of God come down from heaven. Whoever believes on me will have eternal life. Whoever does not believe on me will not have eternal life. We have the witness of the Father, the witness of the Spirit, and the witness of the Son. Three heavenly witnesses that all point to Jesus and say, he's the Savior. Okay? Heavenly witnesses. Now, John also says there are three earthly witnesses. They're mentioned first in verse number 6. It says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness. In verse number 8, it says, there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. Kind of saying, there's another way that you and I can tell that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who came into this world, the one who came to be the Savior for our sins. It says it's partly because of how he came and the witness that is borne by that. And it says he came by water and he came by blood, and the Spirit testifies that he is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, the water is a reference to the birth of Christ. We call it the incarnation. When Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born in this world by the ordinary means of a woman's womb. We say ordinary only because he was born of a woman. It was extraordinary, it was supernatural because she was a virgin. But by water is a reference to his birth. Jesus helps us understand that in John chapter 3. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Listen, if you want to go to heaven, Jesus says, you have to have two births. You have to have a water birth, a physical birth, a fleshly birth. You have to exist. But you also have to have a second birth, a spiritual birth. You must be born again. That first birth refers to the fleshly or physical birth. So we know Jesus was Son of God because he came in this world, he lived in this world, and anyone who studies the life of Christ will be convinced he was no ordinary man. The Bible says no one ever spake like he spoke. People still refer to him as a great teacher who know him in no other light. He performed miracles because he was the Son of God. At the end of his life, men testified of him and said, I find no fault in him. He had an absolutely sinless life. When you look at the life of Jesus, that physical, earthly existence, you come to realization he was more than just a man. He was the God-man, the Son of God, the witness of the water. Then John mentions the witness of the blood. The blood speaks to us of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that he shed his blood for our sins. He died as a sacrifice for our sins. But when we have the Lord's Supper, we remember the words that Jesus spoke to us. We take the cup in hand, that cup that has the fruit of the vine. And we remember that Jesus said, "This is my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins." Jesus shed his blood so your sins could be cleansed from you. His shed blood. Book of Romans chapter 3, verse 25, it says that God hath given us Christ to be our Savior. The Bible says, in this manner, through faith in his blood. You cannot be saved apart from believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood for your sins. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, the scriptures again say, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. People sometimes ask, they'll say, I don't understand how God could allow his son to die on the cross. The answer to that is Jesus came into this world to die on the cross. He came into this world to be the Lamb of God and be sacrificed for our sins, to shed his blood for our sins. And so we have the witness of the water, his birth. You look at the life of Jesus and you realize Jesus was no ordinary man. He was the Son of God. You look at his death upon the cross and you realize the reason he died was to take our sins away. He died in payment for our sins, to remove the guilt from our record. The Bible also speaks then of the Spirit. And the Spirit is a reference to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Some of you will remember in John chapter 14 that Jesus told his disciples that he was going away, and he told them he was going to the Father's house. Okay, so he let them know, I am leaving this world and I'm going to heaven. And then he said this. He said, when I go, I will send the Comforter to be with you. And the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. So the promise that Jesus made is this, that if I go to heaven, I will give the Comforter to come and live in you and be with you in this world after I'm gone. The promise. He had to go back to the Father for the Spirit to come. In John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8, here's what Jesus said. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Time out. Where was he going? Back to heaven. Exactly. Back to heaven. He says, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he's come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. So here's what Jesus said. He said, I have to leave. Where are you going? To the Father's house. Why do you have to leave? So that the Spirit can come and be with you. And so he can be in this world to reprove or convict this world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. We could turn on the book of Acts, chapter number 2. We won't. And we read about that day of Pentecost when the Spirit came. The coming of the Spirit was the witness that Jesus had been raised from the dead and return to the Father. So here's what God is telling you and me. He said, I want you to know for sure where you're going to spend eternity. I said, how can I know that? Because it's written. You have the Word of God. It can't be more clear than what's written here. You can believe the Word. And then you have the work of Jesus Christ. His virgin birth, his sinless life, his death in atonement for our sins, his burial, his resurrection. It makes sense to believe in the one who died for our sins and rose from the grave. See, the Spirit's coming, John says, is a witness to you and I. His presence in our midst. That conviction that we feel sometimes whenever the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of our hearts and takes a truth that's been given to us and convicts us of the sin that we've committed, convicts us of the need of salvation. It's a witness that Jesus did what He said He would do. He died for our sins and He did raise again and He is at the Father's right hand. You can know you're saved because Jesus didn't fail. So we can know we're saved because of the Word of God. We can be sure of our salvation because of the work of Jesus Christ. But we can also know that we're saved because of the way of salvation. Open your Bibles again and look at verse number 5. I trust you didn't close them, but if you did, verse number 5. Verse number 5. John asks the question and says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that, say it with me, believeth. But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Look at verse 10 again. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Believeth. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you. That what? What's the word?
Believe.
Believe. That believe on the name of the Son of God. God has only one requirement for a man to be saved. And that is to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Now I want you to notice two things about what he says there, okay? Number one, this believing is exclusive. Okay? You cannot believe in Jesus as your Savior and anything else. You can't say, well, I believe that believing in Jesus and being baptized will get me to heaven. That's not right. It is believing in Jesus only. You can't say, well, I believe that Jesus will save me, but I have to live a good life too. Listen, I think you ought to live a good life after you're saved. But no amount of good works will save you. It's exclusive. It's not Jesus plus anything. You have to stop believing in everything else you thought would save you and believe in Jesus only as your Savior. I know as a young man, if I thought anything about salvation, I probably believed that if I was good enough, I would go to heaven someday. I had to stop believing that. I had to realize I would never be good enough to get to heaven on my own. Only Jesus could save me. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. See, there's a lot of people, they believe their good works are going to get them to heaven. They believe because they were baptized as an infant that they're going to get to heaven. I cannot tell you how many people I meet on a monthly basis who think they're going to get into heaven because their mother or their father was saved. Their grandfather was a preacher. They were raised in a Baptist church. None of those things will get you into heaven. It's an exclusive way. You must believe in Jesus Christ alone as Savior. But it's also an easy thing to do. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God didn't tell me that I have to go to church 52 Sundays in a year, 52 weeks in a row. I can't miss for anything to get into heaven. Now, I try to be there. If I thought that's what it took, I would try to be there. If I had to drag myself in on a hospital stretcher, I'd try to be there. If I had to be laid in here in a coffin for 14 weeks to make up the difference, I'd be here. If I thought that's what it took to get to heaven, I'm so glad they didn't say, you have to be in church 52 times in a row, 52 Sundays in a row to get to heaven. He didn't say if you give a certain amount of money. He didn't say if you recite enough prayers. He didn't say, no, all he said was, if you will believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You'll stop depending upon you. You will stop depending on a church. You will stop depending on an experience. And you will believe in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. You can be saved. Now for something so easy, some people find it really hard. What makes it hard is not that the Bible makes it hard. It's our pride makes it hard. We do not like to admit that there's anything that we cannot do if we just don't try hard enough. And I'll tell you right now, until you come to a place where you realize it doesn't matter how you live, how hard you try, how much you pray, how much you give, you will never get to heaven except by Jesus. You won't be saved. See, it's exclusive. It's Jesus or nothing. But it's also easy. The Bible says it's as easy as receiving a gift. God paid for it. You accept it. And salvation becomes yours. See, the reason why we can know we're saved is, number one, because God said, if I would believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'd be saved. My ultimate assurance comes from knowing that God didn't lie. I have God's word on it. I'm saved. It's also because of the work of Jesus. I know that Jesus didn't fail. He didn't die on the cross and stay in the grave. He rose from the dead. I am sure I'm saved because of who Jesus is and what he did. But I'm also sure I'm saved because I can look back to one moment in my life where I knelt at an altar like this and I said to God, God, I know that I've not been a good person. I know that I've sinned. And I know I could never get to heaven on my own, but I do believe that Jesus Christ died for me. And the best I know how right now, I do accept him as my Savior. And the Bible says this, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. I know I'm going to heaven, in part because I remember what I did. The way of salvation is easy. God wants you to know that you have eternal life. If you have believed what he has written concerning salvation, if you have believed the witnesses that he's given to us of his son Jesus, if you have come to him his way through faith alone in Christ alone, you can be 100% sure you have eternal life. Here are three things that you can be sure of this morning. Okay, I know they say all the time there's only two things you can be sure of, death and taxes. Okay, well, I hope to miss death because I hope to go up in the rapture. But here are three things you can be absolutely sure of today. Is that every truly born again person will one day stand in heaven saved because they have eternal life, eternal life. Number two, that if a man has ever been saved, he can never be lost. He has eternal life. You cannot fall from grace. You cannot lose your salvation. If you've ever truly been saved, you'll be saved forever. Eternal life. Here's the third thing you can be sure of today. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, and you do it today, you can leave here with the assurance that heaven will be your home one day. You can be sure. But you have to take that first step. You have to respond to God's invitation to eternal life. Will you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today? You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I want to tell you something. Every one of you has an eternal soul. You will continue to exist eternally someplace, heaven with God or hell separated from God eternally. The difference is what you do with Jesus. Will you believe the record that God has given, and will you trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior today? I want us to stand, please, our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you've struggled with doubts. You say, I remember when I did that. I remember as a little girl how I believed in Jesus as my Savior. I asked him to be my Savior. I remember as a teenager when I did that. I remember it was just a few weeks ago I did that. And right now I just struggle with doubts. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Here's what God says to you. You can be sure because of what is written. You can be sure because of the work that Jesus did for you on the cross. He did not fail. You can be sure because the way of salvation is easy. It's as easy as believing in Jesus and receiving his gift of eternal life.